The Fearless Podcast, in a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act.
Hey, Logan Duvall, welcome to the Fearless Podcast. How you doing today, brother?
I'm great, buddy. How are you?
Oh, man, I am doing great. And I found your channel probably a little over a year ago. Been doing a lot of diet research and was digging into the carnivore diet. I've been carnivore now for about 2 years. And maybe it was the algorithm. I don't know how it popped up. And so I saw an interview. I found your podcast. I found Sowing Prosperity. And back then, I sent you an email, and all of us social media people, we get like crushed with like insane amounts of emails. So, and then sometimes it even goes to spam. And so I didn't hear from you, obviously. And then you're on a really good friend of mine, Billy Bonds at the Permapasture Farms and the Permaculture Pimp Cast. And I was like, yes, dude, I got an in, right? So reached out to Billy. He connected us, and I'm really excited to have this conversation. I really appreciate your podcast. I've been listening for about a year, and it's really, really high level stuff. And being on this carnivore journey kind of thing, you know, I've never bought into this like plants are trying to kill you stuff. And I've never been like a hyperbolic person to say that it's all this one way or all that one way. And when I started hearing you talk about light and all these different things surrounding light and location and all of this stuff, one, it resonated. I'm like, that really makes sense. And then there's lots of broader issues when we think geopolitically and different things. But I was hoping we could have this conversation, and I thought we could start it out by the other really thing I was really pumped about is I know that you're a Christian, and obviously I'm a Christian. And when you deal with these issues of diet and science, they do become like very, most of the time, like evolutionary biology and all this stuff, you know, and that's where a lot of these carnivores devolve down into this, like, well, evolutionarily, but I thought in discussing this light deal, right? This is what I find like super fascinating. Genesis 1, right? 1-4. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, Let there be light. Right? So literally, the first thing God did was he created the heaven and the earth, and there wasn't any form. The very next thing he did was said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And I thought this would be a foundational thing to kind of start our conversation out. And for everyone listening, okay, just do me a favor, like listen all the way through, because this is going to be kind of, it's wild, all right? And it's true, because like for me, you know, when you start talking about this stuff, I'll stop my diatribe here in a second. But so I went carnivore, right? And everybody's like, you know, sun's bad, you know, we need to blot out the sun and all this stuff. And Bill Gates is going to do that. And, you know, skin cancer and sunblock. And you start unlearning all these things you've been taught, right? And I went carnivore, and we have a farm. I have 400 fruit trees. I spend an enormous amount of time outside, and I don't burn easily. I went carnivore, and for 2 years, I have not sunburned to the extent in my experimentation, I tried to sunburn myself and couldn't do it. And I'm like, wait a minute. And then the more I start researching about vitamin D and different things, and I'm like, you know, this kind of makes sense. And so that's where I thought we could kind of start this discussion off. Apologize for the long ramble. But yeah, let's talk about light.
Yeah, light's a big deal. So like as You know, I get invited to speak and be on podcasts because of this conversation, right? So, like, a lot of my work stems from, you know, Jack Cruz. Dr. Cruz has had a massive, massive impact on me. But as a Christian and trying to wrap my mind around this evolutionary lens that a lot of these academics have, it's been a challenge. But to me, it actually becomes more interconnected than different. I think that's the biggest takeaway. And it seems like the more someone understands something, they start on this trajectory of, oh, wow, there's reasons for this. And then they become atheist. And then, oh, well, that's the Big Bang. That's all it is. And then you start understanding more and it's, oh, wow, that's a nuance. Oh, this is a little more complicated. And they start coming back to a greater design, right? Whether that's to them, God, or something else that they try to say. But I've been really interested with how many PhDs that have deep knowledge that they end up going towards a faith. And that's been really, really cool. So, you know, I went through all that to say, I think God gave us the recipe and a lot of what we're talking about, or God gave us the outline and a lot of what we're talking about is the recipe. So I just don't see it different, in how I'm communicating with it, how somebody else sees it, you know, that's on them. So when we talk about Genesis, I think it's important to go back a little bit to where it says, the Spirit of God moved upon the faces of the waters, right? That was even before Lot. That's a pretty profound thing that we need to try to wrap our minds around, because Lot has to interact with something. All right. And we know this with those fruit trees. Light hits what? Those leaves, right? The chlorophyll. That's how we produce energy. And so you have to have, this is the photoelectric effect, right? This is Einstein. So we have light hits a magnesium molecule called chlorophyll that we then produce sugar and oxygen. That's how it worked. I mean, it's really that simple. And so the beautiful thing is when we understand how we produce energy, it's basically the spider on that mirror, the metabolism. What do we have? We have oxygen, we produce carbon dioxide and water and ATP and light. So we have human photosynthesis as well, right? We have plant photosynthesis, human photosynthesis. Light is this input that creates energy and life. So for so many of us that have been in and around agriculture, we see how things work. We don't need a book to explain it, that if we plant the tree and we get enough sun and water, that it's going to bear fruit. Like we don't have to be explained. So what happens is when academia conflicts with nature and what we see, we get this confusion. So we don't have to be PhDs to understand what I'm talking about. Like I'm trying to lay out that foundation and say, hey, your eyes are telling you the truth.
And I want to pause here. This is incredibly profound, right? And because this is the case that I've been building, and I know this is part of your message as well, is we've been industrialized and synthesized, right? And we build these concrete jungles and stack them, pack them, track them, you know, and sidewalks and trash disposals and all these synthetic systems. And then this is our postmodern society. And I believe to correct all systems where, you know, all of our systems of life are cascading. And really the only solution to that is a return to a more simplified agrarian type of lifestyle, you know, and then people want to know how you scale that. I don't know how you scale that, but I know that this modern method that we've been using of completely everything is synthesized, light is synthesized, nutrients are synthesized, and we can industrialize and we can through the power of science and modern medicine, you know, we can still evolve to overcome and all this stuff. And that obviously isn't working. And so we have to slow down, right? We have to put our feet our bare feet in the dirt, right? And these are the solution, and let the real sunlight hit our skin, you know, before they black out the sun and all these different things. And, you know, and these are the solutions, and these solutions are from the beginning, right? These solutions were from the beginning of the creation until now. It's the same answers that work, but the solution is really a return to a simpler, basic lifestyle that's rooted and grounded in reality and in nature for the exact reasons that you're mentioning. Like, these truths are self-evident. We can watch that. If we are participating, we can watch and notice these things and just see that they are obvious to us by participating. If we're not participating, you'll miss it.
The solutions are so unbelievably simple and cost effective, right? Like, most of them are free. It's get outside. It's get barefoot on the ground. So, you know, you brought up carnivore. And, you know, I know all the guys. I know Anthony Chafee and Kim Berry and all of them. So I got into health because of my son being diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. So my cancer journey is what has made me question everything. And I just so happened, you know, to own a farmer's market, a grocery store in Arkansas. So I'm looking at these two aspects of life, of this food system, trying to build up my oncologists, my son's oncologists are saying, wow, diet doesn't matter. Just feed him whatever. Just don't lose weight. And I'm just going back and forth. So as I got through that rabbit trail of just trying to understand appropriate cancer nutrition, it led me to, you know, the China study, the vegan diets is what a lot of the alternative cancer, approaches are, to the plant paradox. You know, this is Stephen Gundry. And then into, wow, we have things like lectins. We have anti-nutrients. Like, what are we talking about? And so we started questioning more of that. You know, Dave Asprey was a huge influence on me and kind of that biohacking realm early on. But I don't think that we need to spend the money on the technologies, and that kept pushing me further to having different solutions. To where carnivore is working with so many people. Okay. But as I got to understanding more of that carnivore world and got introduced to deuterium, we won't go into that now, but that's a big reason why carnivore works. Keto works for a lot of people. It's a deuterium depleted diet, but there's more nuances. So why are people not curing cancer with a ketogenic diet? Why are we not curing cancer with a carnivore diet? Why are we not curing cancer with a vegan diet? Right? Why are these solutions not working for everybody? Well, because we're missing the complete and utter nuance of local, seasonal, and natural food. So depending on where we are, when we are, that dictates our diet, right? So if we are in, you know, Montana in December, our diet's going to look a lot different than Florida in June. Right? It's based on the time and the location of where we are. In a temperate climate, a carnivore diet is going to be ancestrally appropriate. When it's in the spring, when we have blackberries and blueberries and other greens that are popping up, that's a part of the natural diet. So, like, to me, the all dietary dogmas are missing that nuance. And so one thing, if you're in the carnivore community, you will see the fallout for Paul Saladino. So Paul moves to Costa Rica. He starts including mangoes and milk and honey, and he is having a improvement in his health. Okay. Well, why? Because he's eating based on the solar input from where he is and when he is. All right. So this timing mechanism matters a lot versus Ken being in Tennessee, having a much, much less tropical environment. And so that nuance is extremely important. And when we look at food, we got to quit looking at the nonsense macros, right? Like, so I'm so, you know, Seyfried's been on, I've known him for a long time. I understand his metabolic approach to cancer, but when we're looking at fat, carbohydrates, and proteins, we're missing like essentially all of the story. Food is an electromagnetic barcode based on when and where you are. That means you are eating light. You are eating protons and electrons. That means different things for carbohydrates, proteins, and fats. But we are needing those solar input to make sure that we have cohesion a coherence inside the body. And so anytime we do that outside, so eat a New Zealand lamb in North America, you have a different spin state of those electrons. You're going to create chaos. That's why carnivore doesn't work for everybody. That's why we have to question these nuances.
So you're saying, and I can speak to this a little bit, you know, I've had a ton of success on carnivore. Originally had a very dramatic improvement of sleep, and then the rest of the health benefits stayed, but my sleep continued to deteriorate back to basically where it was. And, you know, as God would have it, the fruit came in season, you know, because I'd made the decision that, you know, I planted these 400 fruit trees. I've kept these things for 7 years now, you know, and there's just no way that I'm not going to finally enjoy the fruits of my labor. I'm just not, you know, I'm not doing. And so when, you know, first it was the blackberries and right now it's the figs, and I reintroducing this stuff back into my diet and my sleep is improving. And when I start considering all this light stuff, it's very interesting and pretty wild. And just like you were saying, that was one of the things that I started to think about with even the cows we're growing and by us sourcing our beef locally. I mean, that's a great message, first of all, to source your meat locally. But now, if not only you can show that obviously sourcing your meat locally helps your local farmer, but now there's also an additional nutritional benefit other than how the animal was raised. But just because geographically it's in your area, you know, you're going to receive this additional benefit of it just because it's in the same area. And when you think about this just logically and rationally and just naturally, it would never not be that. Like, for the last, for all of history, save the last 100, maybe 150 years, it would never have not been that way, right? It would have obviously been, you know, you wouldn't have been buying beef from China. It wasn't even possible. And, you know, that's what comes up in this carnivore conversation. And I think that's why they created this narrative that, like, plants are trying to kill you, is because what can't we account for? Like, I'm eating this whole food type of natural diet, and I continue to get worse and worse, even though that I'm not eating highly processed foods. I'm not eating seed oils. I'm not doing all these things that the conventional, the standard American diet is doing, but yet my health doesn't continue to stabilize or improve. And I think a very natural explanation of that is this entire light concept and what you're talking about.
Yeah. So the sleep aspect is crucial, right? Like, your sleep is not dictated by your food, right? Like, this is dictated by light. This is, we know this through melatonin. Metabolism is dictated by light. The TCA spinning cycle through this beta oxidation is how we break down fats. It's clockwise. This input only happens when we see the sunrise. This is a light input, right? So, like, when we're doing carnivore, but we're living inside and we don't have the appropriate light, it doesn't work, right? We don't properly break down fats. Like, and you're never going to see that talked about, but just Google it. Just try to prove me wrong on that. We know that these light inputs matter for how we metabolize. So, like, this is a big problem with diets that don't take that into account. The other aspect is when we are in this stress state, which that's what blue lights cause. That's what EMFs cause. I know a lot of times we focus on 5G or Wi-Fi. That's only a fraction of it. Like, there's so many things. What that phone's doing to our bodies and what that phone's doing to our kids is insane. So, for example, if we do not eat, completely independent of eating, we put blue lights on us. We raise blood sugar levels, not eating, right? Anybody that's a diabetic that's been tracking their blood sugar knows that they cannot eat, be stressed, and their blood sugar will spike. We know that, right? This is a cortisol response. So we know that things other than food are going to impact blood sugar, but we act like nutrition is the only way to treat that. relatively recently, we know that red light, infrared, near, mid, far, is going to lower blood sugar independent of any other external input. So light has an impact on blood sugar up and down, depending on what spectrums we're exposed to. So blue light is also the most rare form of light. Now, that may sound crazy because we look out and we see a blue sky. It is the most rare form of the spectrum. But in our lifestyle, our artificial lifestyle with fluorescents, LEDs, we have it all the time. You know, the phone screens, the TVs, the refrigerator light, the vanity when you go to the bathroom, like on and on and on. We are bombarded, right? And now we've got kids on iPads in school instead of reading books, right? This is insane. We know with John Ott, the Sarasota experiment, that gives you full spectrum lighting versus a artificial lighting of the fluorescence. You got the kids moving around their chairs, moving nonstop, versus having this full spectrum. Now they're calm. They're paying attention. They're not spinning around in their chairs. All right, and that's just a light input. So I get really frustrated. I'm probably going to offend some people here on this whole MAGA movement, MAHA movement, where we're looking at seed oils and Red 40. When the real issue is the environment we're all living in, and what we're doing and what we're mandating people do. Like, I can choose not to eat red dye and seed oils. I can't choose to go into a hospital where my son has been treated for cancer and not have him in that environment, right? So, like, we're the school system, the office systems, everything that we're doing, go to Walmart. I have a headache if I have to go into Walmart, right? Like, I'm sitting here on a computer and people might say, yeah, you're not practicing what you preach. My laptop screen is red. I use Iris software. The light that I have right here is a reptile light that has infrared and UVA on it. My phone is red, right? My phone is, I promise. So when you see what this does to, I'm gonna tie this back into sleep. We destroy our melatonin cycles with this blue light. We destroy all heme-based proteins with this blue light. We are destroying our frontal lobes, especially in them kids. I've got four kids. This is pretty passionate about this topic. Destroying our kids' frontal lobes. That's what I'm saying. Their brains are falling apart when they're sitting there on those blue screens. Like, so now when we take that horrible input and now let's flip the script, cover it with sunglasses. Now you don't have the visual photoreceptor input from the sun. So now we live in this artificial environment completely away from it. We're blocking things with, you know, sunscreen, clothes, hats, sunglasses. Now nothing in the system is able to repair from the damage that we're used. So how do we repair those heme proteins? Infrared and UV light. So we have to have the sun to repair from the terrible environment we are. So this is why we see Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and a lot of the neurological diseases just exponentially growing, because we don't repair and we're constantly destroying.
Wow, that's it's interesting also too that all of those things are associated with blood sugar level, you know, and it's now being blamed basically on blood sugar versus just being bombarded and polluted by blue light.
Yeah. Well, and it's extremely important to understand that we are living in a toxic environment that causes this is twofold, right? So when I'm talking about heme proteins, these are also the cytochromes that are on the mitochondria. So the inner mitochondrial membrane. So this is where we produce a metabolic water. You know, when we first talked about photosynthesis, I said mitochondria create water. It's extremely important. So this water is an insulator. It hydrates and insulates to have appropriate voltage control. Okay. So this goes into redox, goes into a lot of other things, but that water is so unbelievably important. So melanin, the tan, right, is actually everywhere. This ties right back to Parkinson's as well. We know that within the brain, substantia nigra, we have melanin breaks down. This is a key of Parkinson's. So when we break down this water hydration cycle and we have dehydrated melanin, this is one of the greatest semiconductors in the body. It is essentially electrocuting the insides. Okay. This is also, think shimmer, tremors, shakes. This is a dehydration. So what causes this dehydration? Well, it's the CCO not being able to produce water. So we're dehydrated. That does, we can't drink it. We can't replace it with drinking. We have to have, essentially the best way to do that is see the morning sun, eat fat, have our mitochondria create water. That's how you do it. And so when we destroy that and we're dehydrated and we're not able to control this electromagnetic system that's in our body, it all goes to pot. This is so unbelievably important. Have you ever seen your trees wilted? They haven't been watered. What happens when we water? It comes back up. It's a little different system, right? It's a little different system, but inside of our cells, that's the same thing. So just think of a wilted leaf versus a fully hydrated leaf. Now, when we are not fully hydrated, none of that works. So you have the light, the water, and the magnetism as this three-legged stool. And one of them's off, it can throw the entire stool off. I can't sit on a two-legged stool. It's got to have the three legs. And so when we don't have the light right, when we don't have the water right, and the way we get the water really wrong is living in an artificial, extremely high EMF environment, okay? And then we're never grounded. We're never in nature. We live on a 30-story high-rise, and we don't have the appropriate human residence, right? We don't have the appropriate magnetism within that. That is the diseases. It's not seed oils and Red 40, right? Like, we are living so counter to any part of God's design and the natural systems. That's why we have it. So lisinopril is not going to fix your blood pressure, right? It's because you're not in the sun. You don't have UVA to have nitric oxide release. So you don't need to be eating beets either. Get in the sun. UVA in the skin releases nitric oxide. That's a vasodilator, right? Like, so it just on and on and on. I can do little bitty examples like that. It's the disconnection. The food and agriculture is a big problem. I'm not trying to minimize that, but it's not the foundation.
Well, I mean, especially you mentioned the Maha movement and how they'll focus on these little things. And it's very interesting. Like, you know, I know Trump just tweeted or whatever, the new truth or whatever. And, you know, they just worked with Coca-Cola and they're not going to use high fructose corn syrup anymore. They're going to use real cane sugar. And like, this is obviously a victory lap for the, you know, health. And we're, you know, it's all a bait and switch. And that's actually what drove kind of like why I fell in love with permaculture, because permaculture said, you know, the problem is the solution. And what's interesting is when you listen to the bureaucrats or the technocrats or the government, they say the solution is the problem, right? Like, you know, cow farts and, yeah, the sun and CO2, right? These are all bad things and we need to eliminate them. And when in reality, it is quite literally the opposite of that. And by participating in that from a regenerative agriculture standpoint or from a permaculture standpoint, by participating in that, you get to see these self-evident truths, right? That is exactly what we're talking about. Hey, if we slow down, and if we live a more natural life and we are actually working with God's creation and we're part of that and we create abundance, we're going to be able to see these incredibly complex ideas. We're going to see them like literally play out in front of us. It's just like raising your kids, right? It's so much easier. Oh, we need to have like Prussian government schools to brainwash our kids to be cogs in the machine versus, well, no, you can teach your child. And if they're in a farm type agro environment, like you don't have to have like a sex ed class and all these things. They're going to see like, hey, daddy, what's the rooster doing and the chicken doing and all this stuff, right? And it's these self-evident things and that happen and you can explain them without being grotesque and you can show them, yeah, that, well, the conversation is, well, the problem is the rooster thinks he's a hen. You know, that we never have that conversation. The rooster isn't confused. The rooster doesn't have, you know, 47 pronouns. But that's easily resolved by a return to a real life predicated upon real things with real dirt, with real plants, with real communication as from parents to children. Like, it's not like it's so sad and troubling to watch just this incredibly synthetic world. And we're communicating on social media. We're using it as a tool, but so many people's lives, I'm fascinated with this Twitter X stuff and how many people, whether it's theologians or politicians, and like their entire universe revolves around X and this argument and this conversation. And it is completely created, you know, to create the desired output. And in reality, nobody has time for that. You know, if you're actively participating in your food and food system, and you're actively participating with your family and with your children, and I'm not saying, you know, we use these methods and means to spread information. That is absolutely great. But our entire life and lifestyle has been so synthesized that even that we think that social media is like communication, like this is the way that humans are supposed to communicate. It absolutely isn't. I mean, it's a tool, but it's certainly not a way to communicate. It's a great way to transmit a message. But other than that, it's great that other than that, I would say it's a detriment to society. Everything can be good, can be used for evil, obviously. But
let's tie it back into light. Okay. So when you look at that, what is social media being used on? Phone, computer, mm-hmm. It's a blue light, right? What happens with blue light? Blue light breaks down melanin. When we know how the melanin is produced, dopamine is crucial for that. So as it's broken down into L-dopa and L-dopa and dopamine. So this is a dopamine hit. You're getting dopamine hits by killing yourself with blue light. That's what we're doing. So as much as the algorithm and everything else is addicting, that constant need for being in a low dopamine state that most of us are in and getting this hit through breaking down internal melanin, it makes us more addicted. Okay. This is not new. This is the whole, whether you want to pretend like MK Ultra is some conspiracy theory or not, it's real. We know all of this through Frank Church and the Church Commission. Like this is not even a conspiracy at this point. So we know that blue light has an addicting property. And I just explained why. You get dopamine hits every time that you're using blue light. So how do we repair it? That's what I just said about the UV and the infrared with helping rebuild heme proteins. Well, melanin has to be created from UVB light. Right. So we also have to have, you know, the precursors, tyrosinase, copper, right? Like dopamine, like all of these things are what generated, come together through the UVB light to create melanin. This is the tan, right? But it's not just the tan. Like that's what I can't stress enough. So we produce this melanin skin. This can then be sucked back in to be used within the parts of the body. And it is used everywhere. Like it is literally everywhere. And so when we're not building melanin, we're constantly destroying it through this lifestyle. I'm telling you, it's the lifestyle that's killing us. Then nothing in biology works appropriately. And then we're sold solutions from pharmaceutical options that do not solve anything. And we're told by the doctor, well, don't go in the sun because you're going to get cancer. The optometrist tells you, well, don't go out there. It's destroying your eyes. It's not. The blue light is destroying your eyes. Sit on your phone for 2 hours and then look up and see how that affects you, right? The blue lights are killing us. Like, and it's not just that's also partly way too myopic in my explanation, but blue light is a non-native EMF. So if we're going to be worried about 5G, 4G, 3G, 2G, LTE, and Wi-Fi, you need to be worried about the blue light, right? And there's some super simple solutions for that too. But any time that we are disconnected, there are consequences. Right. I have free will to touch a stove and get burnt. I'm not going to get mad that I got burnt because that's what it does. Well, that's what the blue light does. Like, and this has been proven out and used against us over and over and over. And it all goes back to the industrial military complex. That's why we get censored. That's why the Daylight computer about got trashed until Nicole Shanahan came in with $5 million to keep them from going bankrupt. Everybody that has a child or works on a computer needs to have a Daylight computer. It's an iPad looking device that doesn't have the blue light, doesn't have all this garbage in it. It's absolutely crucial, especially for, you know, homeschoolers and these kids. We got to do some swapping out. And that's the only one, to my knowledge, that, you can, get that's on that level.
So I know you mentioned, you know, and obviously I have the same function on my phone to, filter it red, but you mentioned some tools that you use, like with your monitor. So what kind of tools are you using to combat the blue light right now?
Yeah, the first thing is go get the little tutorial video on, YouTube on how to turn your phone screen red, right? It's super easy. Everybody can do that. And then it's got in that, and it's really key. You don't have to keep it on red all the time. So if you need to see something real quick, because not everything's visible on red, you click the side of the button three times and it swaps it back and forth. Super easy. Everybody should do that. Iris software is one that you can download that automatically converts the screen into different background shades, right? Iris, like your eye, iris. And then lighting's a big deal. Like, get rid of those LEDs. They're garbage. You know, for anybody doing their makeup in the mirror with these LEDs, this is pyridinone steel syndrome, right? This is why we have PCOS and extreme cycles, and we have these ridiculous extremes that can't be explained with hormones, right? It's the lights. You're destroying your brain with these lights. You get in it. So we'll wear sunglasses out in, the day, but when we're putting on makeup or whatever, you got these LEDs blasting all of your hormones. Like, it's insane. So swap out into the LEDs and fluorescents for incandescents. That's an easy one. You got to order it. It's decorative. Or what I do, especially during the day, is get reptile lights, right? These are the best ones. They're incandescents. They have infrared UV, but when it's supposed to be dark, make it dark. So I also use like little red night lights, right? In the hallway and stuff, in the bathroom. So, you can get a filter that takes, that covers up the refrigerator light. Like, once y'all start listening to what I'm saying, you go get that drink out, you know, before bed that you want, and see how blasted with light you are when you open that refrigerator door. Like, you will start seeing that every time we turn around, from the street lights to the headlamps to the TVs to the phones to the refrigerator to the vanity, all of that, you are getting blasted way, way, way more than you think. And if you go to bed and you can put your hand in front of your face and you can see your hand, it's too light. It's too light. So when you start counting all the little blue lights and red lights on TV, on the alarm clock, on the different air conditioners or fans or whatever, it starts adding up and it's insane. So when it's dark, it needs to be dark. When it's light, we need natural light, not an artificial source. Those things are massive. The amount of people that I've helped get off of blood pressure medicine, off so much diabetes medicine, it's crazy, because that's a blue light disease. It doesn't cost any money, and it's so unbelievably effective. And it sounds crazy. Like, I get it if you don't believe me, you think I'm a wackadoodle on these conversations, because I didn't believe it at first either. But when you start thinking back to those trees that you got in the yard, start pretending like you're a houseplant, and it's a big difference.
So there have been people that have been able to reverse diabetes just by being cognizant of getting the blue light out of their life.
Absolutely. Wow. Like, 100%. Like, type 2 diabetes is completely reversible. It's absolutely, Kelsey Dexter, is an endocrinologist. She's been on, she's based out of Tennessee. She's incredible. Should we go through so much of this? One thing is extremely important to realize is that when we are living in a toxic environment, we have excessive reactive oxygen and reactive nitrogen species that are created. Okay. When this happens, the body's mechanism is to have glucose, which is a free radical quencher. So it is a defense mechanism, because you're sitting under them blue lights. I'm it is what it is. And so this is a reaction. So as we remove these excessive reactive oxygen species, then the blood sugar gets a chance to start rewiring. Are there dietary factors and stuff? Of course. But that goes back to what I'm talking about on burning dirty fuel. You put dirty fuel into a machine, it's going to produce an excessive exhaust. This is the same thing for mitochondria, but your motor is screwed up because of what you're putting in it. And light is something that you're putting in it.
Yeah. And they're seeing this in the carnivore space where people that are 100% hardcore carnivore, you know, and their blood sugar still spikes. And I mean, that makes a lot of sense, because you would just wonder, like, if you're in like total ketosis and, you know, you're literally, your only glucogenesis is coming from fat, like, how could your, how could your blood sugar still spike and your A1C and all this stuff be out of whack? But if it's the light, I mean, that would pretty easily explain that.
It is a lot. And, you know, we laid that out with what I said about the blue light and increasing blood sugar versus red light decreasing it. And it's all about the mitochondrial efficiency. And so when it's inefficiency, we create a lot of exhaust. When it's efficient, it burns very clean. And we know so much of this from the work of Doug Wallace, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. He's the grandfather of mitochondrial medicine. And like, it's called heteroplasmy. So the efficiency at which the mitochondria produce energy is called heteroplasmy. And so as we age, or as we are in toxic environments, as we have some sort of input, the heteroplasmy rate goes down. It's not as efficient. It's a machine wearing out. I mean, there's so many different super easy ways of connecting perspectives, right? And sometimes they're too myopic, but like we are a electromagnetic biological machine, and we wear out. Like, this is aging. So like, and that shouldn't be offensive, but I mean, I have had people be offended by me saying that. You take care of it. You take care of it. You treat it like a temple, our bodies. And it's crazy how well it can take care of itself.
And it's so frustrating, you know, as a Christian, because even outside of this, even idea of whole foods and all these different things, just like, food in and of itself has become a very acceptable drug to abuse in Christianity. Like, it is the one vice where you hear Christians say over and over again, now I know this is bad. And if you are cognizant of what you're eating and you are aware, you know, and then when you talk to other people that you love and care about, and I know this is bad, but you know, and it's just so. But once again, you know, this is why you are responsible for yourself, right, and for your children and for your family. And this is such a massive issue, just because in the ultra processed world of foods, it completely is weaponized. It is a weapon. It has zero nutritional value. And then once you get down into, like, you recognize that, get down into a whole food space, then it's, you know, it takes upon itself a whole new meaning and concept with this idea of local, in season, you know, where, and all of it makes absolute logical sense. I mean, it makes sense. And not only does it make sense, like, you can observe that. And I just started like researching this different light stuff. And I do have some couple different glasses, like yellow and red, and they absolutely work. Like, the one thing I noticed, that if I put on red glasses, as soon as I do, you completely like relax, like, as a, like, it just happens. Like, you put them on and you're just, for some reason, you're just sedated, like you're in a, and I just have to figure out how to, you know, my entire house has all these like recessed lights in it everywhere, and these hi-hat lights that are micro hi-hats, so I just got to figure out how to swap all these things out. So we're just not getting blasted 24/7.
No, and it sounds crazy. I get that. And it's so contrary to how most people live. But I'm going to be honest, and I know I'm going to offend some people here. The number one reason that I don't go to church is because I don't want to sit in that environment. And I'm not putting my kids in. Number two is what they've tried to feed people.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially the kids. So it's these garbage snacks every time you're in children's church. And I'm not fighting with people about don't feed my kid that. I don't have time to explain to every single person that might come in contact with my kids, don't feed them junk. So it is easier to not go to church. So when you think about how many people spend Monday through Friday in an office environment, right? And then they have their Sunday to where they spend between 9 to 12 o'clock at Sunday school and church and all the things. And then maybe they go out to eat. You are missing all of the daylight too. So if we are true Christians, okay, if we're true Christians and we believe God made the perfect design, that he made zero mistakes in the way that he system, we need to question everything about what we are doing with our lifestyle, our activities. Maybe church should be how Jesus did it outside. You know, like maybe we should be questioning everything. He wasn't feeding people Reese's. It was fish and bread and wine from local natural season, right? That is so important to realize. And so I get frustrated on people that I talk to. I know I shouldn't be doing that, but it's just easy. Oh, well, I know I shouldn't. Well, this is why I'm on 18 different prescriptions and have had cancer and heart disease. Like, I don't have time for those people. And as bad as that sounds, I have to take care of my kids and my family. And if we can't buy in that we have ownership and accountability and hold each other able to do those things, like, They're not my tribe, right? They're not my group, because we have to own it and question all of it.
I completely have the exact same sentiment, and it's so frustrating. And I mean, and this is obviously why we've never put our kids in public school either, for all the exact same reasons. And yeah, it's such a massive challenge, and if you think about it too long and focus on it, it could be very discouraging. But the beauty of saying all that is, you know, if we focus on what we can control and what we do know, and we obviously prioritize that and be that example for other people, you know, it is more caught than taught. You know, people will see the reality and will observe what is happening, and those that want to receive it will, and those that won't. I mean, unfortunately, you know, the previous generation was so indoctrinated, and the MDs are medical deities, you know, where people will get all these barbaric surgeries and they'll use all these pharmaceutical concoctions. And this is, you know, while saying, you know, well, Jesus is the great physician and all this stuff. And it's just like, well, but once again, right? Once again, we've delegated this synthetic approach, you know, to the pharmaceutical industrial complex and the medical industrial complex. And people do, you know, like Billy says, people think that MD is medical deity, and they do hold their opinion higher and sacrosanct than anything. And it, you know, it has been a very long brainwashing process. And, you know, and I appreciate people like yourself with the message and putting the message out there. And you can't be afraid. You can't be afraid to offend people. I mean, 90% of everybody, you know, and of course it sounds judgy because that's the way it's been created, is to be, but like 90% of everybody you ever meet is morbidly obese. I mean, we're watching the fatification of the world, and it is like unbelievable. And then when you consider the impact of blue light, right? And you start thinking about this, well, yeah, no wonder everybody is the size of the Goodyear blimp, because it's just, you know, it's the natural process of what they're being bombarded with, even regardless of what they're actually putting in their mouth. And, you know,
well, that's the key of understanding leptin. That's this key of understanding what has happened with Ozempic, GLP-1 drugs. Like, it's all light. Like, I mean, it is all light. So if we're going to see, you know, change, this is the foundation. And this is why when we have a surgeon general that owns a medical device company where you are pounding EMFs into the system while you're reading blood sugar levels, it's insane. It's just absolutely insane. And so the solution for me, and you know, Billy and I talk, you know, I have umpteen of these conversations a day. We have to create the awareness and put in the work to change. So nothing works if we don't work. So we have to be the example, take care of our kids, not necessarily by any stretch, be pointing fingers, and just trying to blame others that are in our communities, right? Like now the leaders, the politicians, like I'm going to eviscerate them, because they're the ones that make the policy that trickle down to us. But for everybody that has been brainwashed systematically through the school systems, through education, through medical information, through health policy, through ag policy, that's been started back since the early 1900s at a minimum, it's hard to break through the conditioning. And so like we have to try to crack that nut in the positive way, but our community and our enemies, they have been screwed over. Every race, gender, color, whatever, we've all been screwed over by this system. And so the system is our enemy, and it's centralization versus decentralization. And so we all have to decentralize in our own communities, and that's the solution.
Amen. And it is all decentralized. And even from the way Christ established his church, it was always supposed to be decentralized. It was supposed to be local. It was supposed to be communal. It was supposed to be small. It was supposed to be simple. It wasn't supposed to be complicated. And that is absolutely true. It's the same thing with our food system. It's the same thing with our family. You know, family, when we moved 11 years ago and we had this harebrained idea that like we wanted to be rural, we wanted to be like agrarian, we wanted to try to grow our own food, we wanted to have a simple life, like a very basic, simple life that wasn't complicated. You know, our kids didn't need soccer and we didn't need to like have all these resources and absorb all of our time. Taking our kids to soccer and like just all of these things, right? That are so artificial. Well, the kids need soccer because, you know, they need socialization and, you know, sit in school all day and they need to be able to run around. But like, well, what if that was your lifestyle, right? Like what if that was your lifestyle? Like you can overcome all of those problems by it is your lifestyle. The problem is you live this artificial synthetic, shoehorn lifestyle where you're fitting yourself into this pre-programmed package that's designed to destroy you and literally make you a human battery. And they want to plug the matrix plug into you and extract all your resources. And instead, slow down, right? What if we could have a living legacy, right? Where we teach our children to think for themselves. And we can work together and we can build and grow locally, right? So this way, because the modern idea is like you go to school to get a good education, to get a good job, and you'll go to college and then you'll fly off to wherever, right? Oh, well, me and this guy I met at college, we want to live in Chicago or whatever, right? And it's just, it just destroys the family versus what if the family, like the family historically used to be, is like, well, no, we build and grow and we work together so that there is manpower, right? Like robots aren't going to help us do this. Like, so we need manpower. And in that process of raising our children in an agrarian environment, we're making their life hard, so to speak. They have responsibilities and they're doing these things and they're learning all these life lessons. And they're creating value, and then you share the value with them, And now we're getting to experience, you know, my son's building his house right here on the property. And this should be the natural progression of the idea. And we continue to grow that even regardless of who our neighbors are, we're still building our community, right?
Yeah.
And as God would have it, what's fascinating to me is in this whole process, we're having these neighbors move in and they're awesome. Like, it's just kind of incredible. They're just like awesome people. And it's really just based upon a thought or idea that is one completely opposite of the mainstream narrative, right? And that, I mean, that's everything we talk about. Like, yeah, well, no, the problem is the sun and sunburn. And so you need to stay inside, you know, and you need to be afraid of all the stuff that actually makes you healthy. And you need to, you know, it's the sugar. So you really, what you need is Coke Zero. And the big problem is like high fructose corn syrup. So now that Coke is using natural cane sugar, you know, don't worry about where the water's coming from and the dye that's in the soda or anything, you know, we fix everything now. Man, I like to ramble. I apologize, but this has been a killer conversation. I knew that there was a lot of overlap and different things where we saw things a lot the same. What I would like to do is, when you have time, I would like to get back together and talk about water, and because I've been listening to some of this stuff, and I'm trying to get a better handle on it and understand it. Maybe we could talk about the rest of this three-legged stool and how everything jives. And this has been just a great conversation. In closing, what parting thoughts? What do you want to leave the listeners with? Parting thoughts.
The decentralized information is one of the most important things that we can have. Don't think that we're dumb because we're uneducated, and that those little letters behind somebody's name mean that they know more than us. They have certain skill sets, and I'm not trying to negate that, but don't down ourselves when we see how things are working and understand that, you know, there's these natural cycles that play a big deal, regardless of what those little credentials and white coats have to tell us.
So, Logan, where's the best place for folks to follow you and the information you're putting out?
Yeah, so sowingprosperity.com. We've got a support group. So cancer is my world. Like, you know, cure cancer and grow food. That's what I want to focus my life on. And so when we do that, we have a support group where we meet, you know, once a week. Sowingprosperity.com. Sowing Prosperity. Logan Duvall pulls up, you know, the YouTube, the podcasts, all of that stuff. Me and McGee, like me and Bobby McGee, the song is the name of our market. I have a huge following on that. You know, Facebook's our primary deal, but like building out these local food systems and curing cancer, like that's what we do. And there's so much. I mean, we're almost at 200 absolutely incredible interviews that have been put out. So like, you want to learn about water and be prepared for our next conversation. There's about a dozen that, you know, they can kind of split your brain, but it's really important that, you know, you start diving through.
Awesome, man. Thanks so much for your time and what you're doing. And y'all, thank you for listening. We just love our supporters and our customers. If you appreciate our content, please go on over to thetexasboys.com. You can support us over there. And we will see y'all on the next scheduled program. Have a great day. Thanks, Logan.
Thanks, buddy.